Happy Mother's Day to everyone. I want to start off with saying this. Being a mom is not an easy job, amen? I heard a woman once say, before I was married, I had three theories about raising kids. Now I have three kids and no theories. I think it's something we can kind of relate to about raising kids. If you're a mother, you know that motherhood can be messy. It can be frustrating. I know with dads it can be frustrating too, but we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. There are no foolproof formulas, right? At least none that we found. Today, though, we pause to celebrate the mothers who have helped to be a part of the family, to lead the family, to keep the family unit tied together. And I just want to say thank you to all the women who have been, honestly, even just simply motherly, even if you're not a mother yourself, you have been motherly to other people before. For women who have stood in the gap and been found not wanting whenever the need was there, thank God for mothers, right? The task of mothers can be pretty daunting. Those of you who are moms, think back to the first time whenever you realized you were going to be a mom for the first time. I remember for Liz, it was last July. She went to the doctor. She was having this bad pain in her side. Turns out it was her son. This woman, Julie, was officially a mom. Life, as you know it, is over. Things change. You never go back to that norm. For her, some things came naturally, came instinctively, such as caring for a newborn, holding a baby. But there are questions that really scared her, like, what are we going to do whenever he or she learns to walk? Or worse, what are we going to do when he or she learns to drive? Questions like that can mess with parents, right? Being a parent is really a big deal. God has entrusted you with a defenseless human being to take care of, to watch over. And no doubt, the thought going through every parent, first-time parent's mind whenever you walk out of the hospital is, do they know us? Is it legal to just give us a child that we have no idea how to care for yet? Do they know how unorganized we really are, how we don't have it all together? And those moments that of unsureness really keep coming throughout the lifetime. You think of the first real illness that you deal with. Hopefully never, but the first surgery or any other surgery for that matter that you have to deal with. The first day of school, the first date, when they go off to college, when they get married. And that time when they call you and say, do you want to be called grandma, nana, or nanny? Which do you prefer? Being a mom comes with a roller coaster of emotions, right? Is there a greater example of love for us today than the mother for her children? The pressures on a mom today are greater than they have ever been before. And I think, truthfully, it's the toughest job that can be handed out. To say to a stay-at-home mom that you're just a housewife is to misunderstand what a mom is and what a mom does. Maybe if we changed jobs with them, they'd come running about halfway through the day saying, I can't handle it. Mothers today are expected to excel in a success-driven day and age. If moms ever went on strike, the world itself would come to a halt. That's a pretty strong labor union there. Or how about this? How many IOUs do you owe your mom? Chances are we could never pay them back, really. Services rendered, cooking, cleaning, driving you wherever you needed to go. How about being a bodyguard? Taking care of the boogeyman, taking care of nightmares, thunderstorms, anything that you might be afraid of. Medical care, kissing your boo-boos, measles, mumps, making sure that you have clean underwear in case you might get in an accident, not have an accident. The older I get, the more I realize how much my mom and moms in general give up for their kids. Two pieces of apple pie and three hungry people, and it's mom who says, you know what, I'm not all that hungry. You guys go ahead. Moms, you have great worth to the family function. Couldn't function without you. I have a poem I wanted to read to you guys. It's called Somebody Said. Somebody said it takes 6 weeks to get back to normal after you have a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal, the old normal at least, is history. Somebody said that you learn how to be a mother instinctively. Somebody obviously never took a three-year-old shopping. Somebody said that if you're a good mother, your children will turn out fine. Somebody thinks that children come with a manual and a guarantee. Somebody said that you don't need an education to be a mother. Somebody apparently has never helped a fourth grader with their math. Somebody said that you cannot love the fifth child as much as you love the first. Somebody doesn't have more than one child. Somebody said that a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Somebody never had grandchildren. Somebody said your mom knows that you love her, so you don't need to go and tell her. Somebody is not a mom. God created woman with a heart and soul to be able to care for others. And while it's not easy to deal with the they grow up and they leave, you have been equipped to do so. And today we honor you in front of God for the jobs that you have done. And there's no doubt that mothering is the toughest job that you'll be handed to because you can't clock out. You can't just say, well, I'm not going to be a mom today. I'm going to take a day off. And you love almost every minute of it. So we get to our text today, Proverbs 31. It says, strength and dignity are her clothing. Talks about how her family praises her. Talks about how her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you have surpassed them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but women who fear the Lord is to be praised. Today, it's kind of a reminder for us to praise. A teacher one day gave her pupils a lesson about magnets. And the next day she gave a written test, which had one question. My name has six letters, begins with M, and I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers came back, almost half of them had the word mother. Not magnet, mother. Yes, mothers do pick up after, but their job is so much greater than that. Their calling is so much higher. A good mother loves her family, provides an atmosphere of acceptance and embrace, of security and understanding, and above all, an unconditional love that we can look at and say, that's similar to what God has for us. Mothers are there when children need a listening ear, a hug, a word, a bit of good advice. But the greatest joy, I think, is sharing Jesus with them. Godly mothers not only bring up their children, they bring them to God. And I think that's kind of a bit of fresh air because you know that when your child follows God, you know the end result. So we get to verse 28 here. And it says, children and fathers honor their mother and wife. Do you think this happened naturally? That they just do this normally? My argument, no. I think that why else would it be written if you didn't need to remember it? I think this text is to the mothers as well as to those who are mothered, those who are taken care of. It's kind of a reminder. If your mom or your wife does this, take time to remember it and to thank her for it. Verse 29, many women have done excellently, but you have surpassed them all. Women have done great things. Women have been in the workforce. Women have done a lot of great things. But being a mother truly is miraculous. All the things that they give up, I think honestly surpasses all the feats that we have done because if we didn't have mothers to raise up children, we wouldn't have people who can do these things. But too many times women are made to feel that they should apologize for being a mother. The reality is these roles are noble and a calling from God. They're a blessing from God. There was a true story that came out of World War II. Of the millions that were lost, there was one family. The father was Solomon Rosenberg. He had his whole family there. They were arrested and sent to a Nazi concentration camp. They were sent to a labor camp where the rules were simple. As long as you can do your work, you're permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, we exterminate you. Rosenberg watched early on as his mother and father were led away to their death. He knew that next would be his youngest son, David, because David was a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the camp, the barracks, after he had done his work, and he'd search for the faces of his family. Whenever he'd found them, they'd huddle together. They would embrace one another and they would thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and he didn't see the familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, over in the corner, huddled, crying and praying. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." Josh turned and said, "It's true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, and so they came for him." "But where's your mother?" Solomon asked. "Oh, Papa, when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried. His mom said, 'There's nothing to be afraid of, David.' And she took his hand and she went with him." Godly mothers are prepared to sacrifice themselves for their family, for their children. Isn't it a powerful picture what mothers give us of our Savior, who is prepared to sacrifice himself for the sake of his children? Philippians 2 verse 6 says, "Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." That's an example that we can share with how our Savior loves, is like the love of a mother, right? Godly mothers are great teachers. It says so in verse 26. "She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue." Brings up the question, who's influencing or who's influenced your children to be who they are today? It's kind of the sum of all experiences of life. Is your influence strongly there? So often we just kind of let the secular state deal with it of, well, they should raise them with the right characteristics, the right values. Godly mothers take this job on themselves in whatever way that they need to, one way or another, to make sure that their children know God, know what it means to be a citizen of God's kingdom. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." What is it that godly mothers teach? God's word. And what impact it will have on them. When mothers raise their children well, when they raise them to know God, they give their children roots that are not swayed by the rest of the world, the unhealthy world. We get to verse 25 and it says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come." For all of you mothers out there, women here today, God has called you to be women of noble character, it talks about here in Proverbs. He has all called us to be of noble character. And it reflects God, His dignity, His strength, really. A woman of noble character will laugh without fear of the future. How do you do that? You think about the future, you're worried about how things are going to work out. It's not because she knows the future, but she does know the God who knows the future, who owns the future. One of the early songs my mom taught me was, "He's got the whole world in his hands." Another song is, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." These left an impact. I learned from an early age that God's in control and that Jesus loves me. Very big parts of my childhood that still are true today. Let's talk about the laughter of this part of the verse here. My wife has wondered why I had a fly swatter on my slides last night. Here you go. Life is too hard not to bring in a little bit of comic relief. James Dobson tells the story of a mom who was sick in bed. She had the flu. Her daughter wanted to be the best nurse she could be, so she brought her mom a pillow. She brought her mom a magazine to read. And then later she brought her a cup of tea. And her mom took a sip of the tea and she said, "Wow, I didn't even know you knew how to make tea." And the girl said, "Oh yes, I learned from watching you. Put some water in the pot, I put some tea leaves in, I boiled the water, and then I strained it in a cup. But I couldn't find the strainer, so I used the fly swatter instead." The mother said, "What?" She said, "Oh mom, you don't have to worry. I didn't use the new one, I used the old one." So the experiences of life, it reminds you, sometimes you just got to laugh at how things come about, right? How about this? A woman named Jochebed lived in a country where they said, "You can't have children. You're not allowed. If you do, we'll come, we'll take them away, and we'll exterminate them." But she decided, anyways, I'm going to have a child. She hid her son for 3 months. I don't know how she did it. My son's only about half that. I don't know how you can hide a baby that well. Kudos to her. Then after 3 months, when she could no longer hide him, she put him in a basket and put him in the river. By now you probably have guessed I'm talking about Moses' mom, Jochebed, in Exodus chapter 2. Talks about how she risked her own life, risked the life of her son to protect her family, protect her son, really. How about this? There's a boy named Timothy, grew up, only family he had was his mom and his grandma, but they raised him to know Scripture. They were very insistent on knowing Scripture. He grew up to become a preacher, a well-versed preacher. We know him as the Timothy that helped out Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 talks about it. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. The impact of women in your life. How about this one? There was a young boy named Paul who grew up. At this point in his life, his mom had to go back to work, so he became one of the, what's now known as the latchkey kids. Well, parents didn't like him going home alone, so they asked one of the neighbor ladies that lived near if she would babysit while they were working. Whenever they came home, they'd come and pick him up. She agreed. She didn't have a TV, but she always had cookies or brownies or something. And they would sit and they would talk, and this woman would tell him stories of the Bible. Kind of a surrogate mother, really. Romans chapter 16, verse 13 talks about this. Paul says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well." Women play a strong role in our lives. And whether you're a mom, a grandma, or a surrogate mother, really, the high hopes that you try to impart help to bring the children that you have an influence in to plug into God's big plans for them, because you help to make them what they are to be. There are great portraits of mothers in the Bible. Recognition of mothers happens quite often in the Bible. Don't glance over them. Today is a day to recognize mothers, the resourcefulness of mothers, the responsibilities that mothers have. I had this quote that kind of sums it pretty well for me. Mothers write on the hearts of their children what the rough hands of the world cannot erase. You have a very strong role. You have a very strong ability. It's been placed for every one of us to encourage one another, especially those who are closest to us. The great news for all of us, whatever our situation, is that this love which is shown by mothers and experienced by sons and daughters is the same example of unconditional love that God has for us, only even better, which we are called to receive if we're willing to embrace it. The Bible says that God demonstrates his love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God chooses to pour out his unconditional love, and he's still waiting for all the prodigals to come home. I don't think there's a mother out there that doesn't believe in this verse. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Strength for mothers to be women of noble character, and it's through Christ that we have this. He's a rock on which you can draw your power to be able to follow through with what he's asked us to do. Perhaps any woman's strength and dignity is best revealed in a time of crisis. That's when the characteristics are exposed as real and they're shown as there. There are women in this room today who have shown their strength and dignity and kept it through the trials of hard things in their life. Today we say thank you for all the mothers who have done that. Another anonymous quote for you. Says, don't worry, God is never blind to your tears, never deaf to your prayers, and never silent to your pain. He sees, he hears, and he will deliver. So my challenge here today is for women and for men to find your strength in Jesus. thankfulness for what he has done, thankfulness for the people in your life who have helped you to be who you are today. So you can handle it with dignity, just like a woman of noble character that talked about in Proverbs 31. The Bible says in Romans 13:7, give honor to whom honor is due. And today, honor is due to mothers. It's due to remember mothers more than just once a year. Teachers, doctors, nurses, crossing guards, bus drivers, store clerks, hot dog slingers, neighbors, aunts, grandmas, you all have the potential to change life whether you birth that child or not. You are priceless in the kingdom of God. Mamas by many names, but still mothers nonetheless. I think there's much that we can learn from the examples of being a mom, the things that you do in our Christian life. We are to be servants of others, and I think moms paint a very good picture with their children of what it means to serve and not ask for anything in return. The invitation goes out. Be a person of noble character and dignity for God. The call goes out if you need to have strength from your brothers and sisters. We can embrace you with that unconditional love. Or if you want to be a part of the family for the first time, you have that opportunity during this next song as we stand and as we sing.